When people burp, they say a word, like a friend burp. They're like, fruit. Like every time this person burps.
What's my word?
You're yachts.
Yeah. Yachts!
Yeah, you're like this. You're like,
yachts! That's sick.
I hear all that rice and broccoli kind of. Ahoy, hoy! Welcome to Head Games, the science and psychology of sports. I'm Dr. Brett Levine, joined as always by Dr. Ben Rosenberg. Ben, how are you?
Doing good, man. It's been a crazy morning already. Smoke alarm went off, made the baby cry. He spilled my coffee everywhere. Just another 8:15 in the Rosenberg household. How are you, man?
Yep. I was awoken to a very stressful situation as well. Good number of dogs here.
A
few of them are humping each other. A few of them are eating a lot of, scraps of food and getting in people's ways.
Murphy would never do that.
There's another dog. I don't know. It's crazy. Yeah.
It's wild. Toronto, and you're in Canada. We can't neglect to mention that. You're in Canada.
I've escaped.
Escaped the COVID-ridden U.S. for Canada. Very smart man.
Yeah. I don't know if they're going to let me back in, but I don't really care right now.
I wouldn't let you back in. I mean, I wouldn't have let you into Canada in the first place, but
That was the big one. It was like, are they going to let me in? Like, I'm all diseased and American and stuff. Like, come on in, please.
Yeah, but they let you in and they won't let the Blue Jays in, man. I know. So the Blue Jays just need to marry a Canadian and they can get in. Is that what's happening?
I mean, are any of them Canadian? Joey Votto's Canadian, but he plays for the Reds.
Yeah,
any of them actually Canadian? That's a good question.
Bo Bichette seems like he should be Canadian. I don't think he is. No, Larry Walker was Canadian, another member of the Blake Street Bombers, if you recall. But don't think Dante Bichette or his son Bo are, sadly.
Speaking of baseball, speaking of Blue Jays, as of this recording, it is Thursday morning. We're recording this Thursday morning, July 23rd. Baseball is back.
Yeah, dude.
Feels so good.
It feels so good. I didn't know how I was going to feel, honestly. Like, I was kind of feeling like we shouldn't even be having a season, right? There's so much shit happening in the country. But at the same time, like, I woke up today and I was like, dude, Giants play tonight. They play the Dodgers.
Define cognitive dissonance. It's like, I'm going to do a bad job of explaining the definition.
It's cognitive dissonance, disconnect between your thoughts or your attitudes and your behaviors, or between like two attitudes that go against each other, right?
Okay.
So I think in this context, you're saying like you feel two ways about what's happening, right? So describe what you were going to say.
That's it.
Dissonance.
Like, it's July 23rd and it's opening day. And was there more cognitive dissonance in it being like May and June and not having sports, or is there more cognitive dissonance with it being late July and it being opening day? I don't know.
I feel more right now, I think, for me personally, just because especially because my wife is an ICU nurse and she sees what's happening. Like, I see that side of it. And so it seems sort of small for baseball to be coming back, but at the same time, like, dude, I'm so stoked. Like, I'm so excited.
Yeah. Well, let's get into this. So today's show, we may or may not get to two topics. I think we're going to try and get to two topics. So first of all, we're going to talk about sports being back, baseball, basketball's back in a week, and hockey begins on August 1st. So we're going to touch on that and make some predictions, hopefully. And I think you've got a piece on Washington football. That's some interesting stuff
about
I think we should talk about. The show goes a little over, so fucking be it. I don't care. So we've touched on this, and we want to do a little bit deeper dive. I think I have a little nugget I want to drop about particularly baseball. So sports are back. They're doing a bubble city with hockey, which is easier because it's just playoff teams. So all the playoff teams are getting locked into Edmonton of all places. I'm so sorry for hockey players.
Have you been there, by the way? Have you been to Edmonton?
No, I've been to Calgary.
Is that a city or is that a province?
You're an idiot.
Dude, I'm an American. I'm not married to a Canuck.
It's a fucking city. Anyway, they're locked down.
right?
In Edmonton, NBA's locked down in Orlando,
right?
Both doing bubble cities. Who knows what the NFL is going to do at this point? Right? Baseball is not a bubble, and we talked about this in episode one, our first episode, I think, when there was no sports and we had nothing to talk about. That's about to change. That baseball was considering doing the bubble approach, but they're not doing it. So basically, teams are flying around, empty stadiums. They've got a lot of different protocols about keeping players safe and whatever. But there's a lot of autonomy
right.
to the players and what they're allowed to do. Here's a prediction. I'm going to make a prediction right now. I'm just going to come out.
Bold prediction, Brett Levine.
Yeah.
Okay.
The team that wins the World Series, the team that wins the World Series is going to have one thing. One important thing that they're going to have is they're going to have health, which is not a surprise because, you know.
Oh, that's always true, right?
That's always true. But in this case, they're going to have their health because they followed the rules.
Interesting.
They all wore their masks. They all kept social distance. They all followed the rules of COVID.
Okay.
And number one, easier said than done. Even if you, I hate to say this, but like buy into the research or the science that it is a good idea to wear a mask.
Yeah.
It's hard to do, and like players can get unlucky. No doubt. You know, I think we understand that. But with so much autonomy for the players, there's a lot of risk involved. And you can be asymptomatic, and they're getting tested a lot. If you test positive, whether you're asymptomatic out. Or symptomatic, you are out for 2 weeks.
You're out. Yeah.
Yeah. The season is only 60 games. 14 days is a quarter regular
season. 25% of the season. They're playing every single day, right? So you're basically missing probably 13 or 14 games if you're out for two weeks.
Well, right. That's a good point. So
it's
14 days consecutively, and you don't play all of those days. So
but they're playing almost every day. I think they have very few off days because the season's so compressed.
Yeah. I think it'd be slightly less. I don't think it's 25. And I think 14 divided by 60 is actually like 23.
So call it 20%. Call it 20% of the season.
Right.
A fifth of the season.
20% of the season.
Yeah.
Which is nuts for any one player. So if you're Max Scherzer and you get COVID,
you've just
lost him for 20% of the season.
Yeah.
Even worse is if it somehow gets into the clubhouse, you can lose an entire pitching staff for 20% of the season. We were talking about this offline, that teams are kind of keeping their like minor league, their AAA team completely separated.
Yeah.
So that they have players to bring up. I don't care. I don't care how good your AAA team is. Good luck replacing some of your star players. Good luck replacing any of those guys. Like,
dude, think about your
is it like a major league level? There's a reason they're a major league player.
Right.
And then
you're
gonna replace them with an average minor league player who is not at a major league level.
Yeah.
It's plain and simple. It's keep yourself healthy. It's be smart. And I think, you know, getting into the psychology of this, I want to bring up the Angels. Mm. And the Angels got together as a team. I should have read up on this a little bit more. I don't know whether it came from Joe Maddon, who's a well-regarded coach, manager.
He's a big culture-y kind of guy. I remember all the crazy shit he did with the Rays with like the weird, you know, outfits they would wear and like all that kind of stuff. So he's big, kind of like, I put him in a similar class with like Pete Carroll and Steve Kerr and Pop and these guys who really buy into creating that kind of cohesive culture. So I could see it coming from him.
Yep. It probably, I mean, I think the suspicion is that he might've at least been a part of that.
Yeah.
But the Angels got together and they just said, look, I don't care what your political affiliations are. And that is important, by the way, because if you recall, Anthony Rendon won the World Series in 2019 with the Nationals. He was a free agent, probably a top 10 hitter in baseball.
Yeah.
He was going to get a major contract. The Dodgers and the Angels were bidding for him. And he came out with a statement and said, I'm from Texas, and guess where my political affiliations lean? And he picked Orange County over Los Angeles and picked the Angels.
Unbelievable.
Over the Dodgers. So it's interesting that the team and said, I don't care what your political affiliations are. Hopefully Anthony Rendon was like, okay, I'm going to wear a mask. I hope.
Yeah.
But they got together and just said, look, it's 60 games, but they're still handing out trophies at the end of the season.
Yeah.
And we want to get it.
Yeah.
And this to me is fucking amazing in terms of team cohesion.
So what does that do? What does that kind of like, let's come together type of meeting coming either from players themselves, or like you said, from Madden, from the top, what does that do? How does that set guys up for success?
Well, it's got to start somewhere. Like, are you saying that this meeting is a catalyst for cohesion? Because you need to have cohesion first to sit down and sort of have this conversation.
Okay.
So I think
it's got to be there.
Yeah. I think I'm just going to shoot a shot because I don't really know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think a little bit, it's been a bit mysterious.
Yeah.
There's news about Mike Trout's wife,
right,
giving birth, and he was not going to play because he was worried about her health and safety, health and safety of his child. I think there's good veteran presence, and there's research that shows that, that future success is predicted by previous success. And that I think that can influence the culture a bit. So you've got guys like Albert Pujols, who won a World Series in 2006 with the Cardinals.
I don't think it was that long ago. Maybe was it 11? Was he there in 11? Didn't they win in 11? Was that the David Freese year? Was he still there? So we need a stat guy to check that. Josh, check on that for us.
Check it right now.
Dude, I'm using a St. Louis mug. My wife is from there. I should fucking
figure it out, bro. Anyway, they've got veteran leadership. I don't know if it. I'm sure it was a catalyst in terms of like you've got Mike Trout, you've got other people on the team, you've got Joe Madden.
Yeah,
you have the components of, you know, I think good voices to say let's talk about this, let's be serious about this, we want to win, and I think it has to start from somewhere first. To get people in a room and just say, we're serious about this, because you can't get people in a room and you can't discuss this if you're not getting along, if you don't have that type of leadership.
Right.
So the fact that they said that though, to me, puts them in the running for at least the division.
Bold.
Well, think about this, right?
Yeah.
Think about this. Number one, you've already showed me you have cohesion. Number two, you're probably going to be healthier than the average team. Although California now has the most cases.
Especially SoCal.
Right. My wife and I were in Orange County a few months ago, and it was like,
no one wears masks.
There was no social distancing. There was no masks. There was nothing.
Yeah. They don't believe it. It's a hoax down there. Yeah.
So that's,
I used to be a professor in Orange County, by the way. So I'm happy to be in NorCal now.
I used to be a veteran.
So I was going to ask you as a follow-up, I was going to ask you, what role, if any, do you think having a guy like Anthony Rendon coming into that clubhouse who just is coming off a World Series plays? Like, you mentioned leadership, you mentioned that past success breeds future success. Like, this dude just fucking won the World Series. Does him coming in specifically play a role in any of this, you think?
Exactly. It's funny you said that. So yes, the answer to your question is yes. Like, he just won a World Series. He knows what it takes. And this is for Pujols. And although Trout hasn't won a World Series, he's the best player of this generation. So those voices matter.
Yeah.
I think what's funny is, and I thought you were going to bring this up, is that maybe and I don't know this, but like a catalyst for the conversation is this has become a political issue, and you know, wearing a mask has become a left versus right issue.
Yeah.
Anthony Rendon, for all intents and purposes, is an outspoken Republican. Hmm. And maybe him, maybe some other players, and the place that they play, Orange County, which is actually a bit more purple now. It's a bit more
split. It is, yeah, it's true.
Could have been the catalyst for this conversation.
Yeah, absolutely.
It could have been the catalyst to say, we need to talk about this because this is serious. Hey, you know, baseball and jobs are important, but like, you know, some guy's wife is about to give birth also.
Yeah.
It's kind of cool. Like,
yeah,
we should take care of him.
Well, and interesting you mentioned, again, Rendon's voice, because I think he could, from a psychological persuasion perspective, play a special role. Because there's all this research showing that when people speak against their seeming self-interest, they can be really persuasive. So if Rendon is a clear Republican, and unfortunately this mask issue has become split right and left, and many Republicans, not all, but many people who consider themselves on the right are less willing to wear a mask. If he's coming out and saying like, yo guys, we all need to do this, we need to listen to this stuff and follow these guidelines, that might be even more powerful than somebody, because in some way he's sort of speaking against his own political self-interest. And so that statement coming from somebody who won the World Series and who has this particular political persuasion could hold a lot of weight.
That's if he did that, though.
He could, if he did that. But even if he spoke up at all, right? Even if the message wasn't originating from him, if it came from Joe Madden and they get in a room, but even if he speaks up at all, or even just buys in, right? That signature, that kind of that just even that movement, making that kind of motion is important potentially.
Yep. I think you're right. Back to, I think the Angels being, back to me being bullish on the Angels is that
So
you have the cohesion, you've shown me that. And we've talked about where that came from, and you have that good baseline maybe between Madden and Pujols and Trout. And then to your point, you know, swinging Anthony Rendon over to that side.
Yeah.
Number one, you've got cohesion. Number two, you have a chance to be healthier because guys are taking it seriously. Because California has more cases, I think the probability goes up. But you've changed behavior significantly by having people meet and say, this is serious. And I think behavior can be the real factor here, because even in states with lower cases, like
Wyoming, Montana.
Well, there's no teams there, so I had to pick.
Oh, yeah.
I'm just thinking, I had to stay away from Sunbelt because those have higher.
Well, Northeast, I mean, they're way down in the Northeast now, right? Northeast is crushing everybody now. We're all getting fucked, and Northeast is doing well after they started out poorly. But that's to your point, that's because of behavior, right? And places like California that were doing well before are now doing shitty because of behavior. Like, the virus hasn't changed. Nothing's changed about the virus. People's behavior has changed. People got sick of being locked down. People got complacent. The messaging coming from up top got complacent, got lazy. There was too much kind of, you know, just getting out the inconsistent messages or whatever. But it's all because of behavior. Like, California's curve was crushed and it spiked back up purely because of people's behavior.
Yeah. It's a summer. Yeah. People. Yeah. Well, this is the question though. I think, is it probability or is it behavior though? Because essentially the Angels are zigging when the state is zagging. The cases are going up. So the probability of anybody getting sicker in California is increasing.
Yeah.
But the behavior is like, no, actually, when everyone else isn't wearing masks, when everyone else isn't social distancing, we're going to. So comparing that to something like Maryland, right, where let's say the Orioles are less vigilant about wearing masks and less vigilant about social distancing, but there's significantly less people who are sick, you know, which team is healthier in the end? Does behavior play out? Like, we're talking about more cases, right? But like, I think it's like, and it's still pretty rare, you know, a random sample of 100 people in California, how many of them have COVID?
I think the positive rate is like around between 5 and 7%, maybe.
Five people.
So it's still people.
Low, you know, but like,
it's still low.
If you're not following the rules, if you're out going to get Chipotle, if you're hanging around other people, friends, family, or whatever, and hey, over the course of the next X number of weeks, maybe, and you're an athlete, man, you're popular, you're around 100 people or so, five of them have COVID, there's a chance that you've got it. So
your chance of getting exposed is real. That's for sure. And if you're not following guidelines, it's much more real.
And again, pulling numbers straight out of our butt, if Maryland is, you know, half of a person, so it's one out of every 200 people, you know, do you run into 200 people over the next 2 months? You know, if you're like, I don't care about masks, I don't care about social distancing. If you run into one person who's got it, you know, over the next 2 months, I don't know. I think that's a good question. What's going to win out? I think I'm leaning towards good behavior. I'm leaning towards social distancing and wearing a mask is going to win out. Because like, if you're in your house and you're not seeing anybody, it doesn't matter how many people outside are infected.
Exactly.
If you're not smart, getting it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now do that over, you know, the next 2 months, and you have to have everybody on the team behave that way as well, or at least the good players. And I think hopefully the better players, like the guys we've been mentioning, and they've got a lineup, by the way.
Yeah.
Hopefully, dude, we didn't talk about Shohei Ohtani. We haven't talked about Justin Upton. Hopefully these guys know how important they are to the team.
Yeah.
So you've got cohesion, you've got good behavior, and you have this lineup and a sneaky good bullpen. I think the top four in the bullpen are pretty good.
Yeah.
The rotation with Griffin Canning, I think he got some injections. His elbow wasn't in good shape in April at the start of the season, but with a few months of rest. And
it's 3 months later now.
Yeah. You have Dylan Mundy, who people are bullish on in Anaheim. I'll call it. I said this was about a prediction. I'm going to make a prediction. Angels.
Wow. That's Angels big too, because the Strohs, obviously, despite their cheating fuckers, are still stacked, and the A's are pretty stacked too. I mean, you can't count on the A's to do anything beyond maybe winning the 97 games and taking the wild card, because they've choked in the playoffs all the time, but they're still stacked, dude. That is a really good division.
It's a good division. Four out of those five teams are legit. I don't think the Mariners are competing this year, but the Rangers are going to be, because they're getting a new ballpark, which is supposed to be more pitcher than hitter friendly, because
ballpark. Oh, it's a bandbox. Yeah.
You touch that thing and it's out.
Gone. Yeah, how do you think Nelson Cruz hit 600 home runs in the last fucking 5 years?
He's still jacking.
He's still mashing. I know. Minnesota. I know.
He's 40 or something. His name's 40.
I think he's at the most home runs out of anybody in baseball in the last 10 years or something like that. Bless him.
Great.
Yeah.
I think Texas has they've got a shot. They've got a good rotation. They're competitive. You mentioned the Astros, but they don't. I think they have some bullpen issues. Osuna's hurt. They're closers, but also their bullpen isn't as deep as it was.
There's Justin Verlander's a year older, right? Like, what's he going to lose? I mean, he's still a stud, but like, what's he going to lose? They lost Gerrit Cole, obviously, at the top of the rotation. Granky's a year older. Yeah, they're going to get – dude, did you see just in their first exhibition game, I think three guys got hit.
Oh, my God.
Their first, like, spring training 2.0 game or whatever.
Wait, summer? Summer training? Or
summer game. Yeah, summer. The newest version. You know, or 2 days ago.
A big factor for injuries is getting hit by pitches. A major factor is getting hit.
There you go, man.
You know, guys take it and then they take their base, but, like, there's apparently a lot of injuries from getting hit by a 99-mile-an-hour fastball to your ribs.
Yeah, doesn't man. Feel good. Well, and they're in Texas, right? Like you said, the – Angels are in SoCal, which is bad, but Texas has just been, you know, going crazy, obviously, as well. And perhaps the political stuff around mask and distancing and everything in Texas is even more powerful than it is in Southern California, and will have some kind of role in the Astros. I mean, we touched on this in our pod, I think, with TJ, where we talked about the lack of off-field regulations for what these guys are supposed to do, and like, there's so much dictating what they do on the field. And it seems like what the Angels are doing is really powerful, because it's stepping into that place where they have limited guidance about what to do off the field.
Yep.
And the Angels are saying, yo, mind your shit, stay on your masks, don't go out. And basically, are you willing to, for the next few months, not do anything aside from go home and go to the ballpark in order to give us a shot at this thing? And I think, like you said, that's a potentially really powerful message, given all that's happening.
You make a good point too. The entire AL West is in states of real issue. You have two teams in Texas, you have two teams in California, and then you have a team in Washington.
Yeah.
All those states have had so many issues with COVID. So,
yep.
I mean, let's say it's not equal, but like, you're in three problem states. The one team who says, hey, we're going to take this seriously. You know what?
That's right, man. I mean, again, back to the behavior, that if all three things being relatively equal, right, they're all in places with pretty high risk at this point, their behavior is going to really dictate who's at risk and who gets it.
Yep. All right. Let's, I think we've beaten this to death. Let's move on.
Yeah.
It was good talk though. Thanks.
That was, dude, Angels winning division. I'm glad you staked your claim there.
Got to make some predictions here. Let's do it.
Got to. Let's go.
Let's transition a bit to the NFL. A lot of talk about what's going to happen this year and what's going to happen with that season. But over the last few weeks, there's been a lot of talk on two counts with the team in Washington. That that one team in Washington, the NFL team.
We can't even say their name.
Number one, we've talked about, and you're going to talk about the name change. We should mention also about all of the scandal that's going on about.
Yeah, I have some thoughts on the I have a few thoughts on the scandal too. So we can maybe briefly just hit on each.
Yeah,
each of these issues.
Let's, I mean, just as a brief recap, the owner was basically aware of and knew of this rampant partying and pimping out of like cheerleaders. Right. It implicated the coach. It implicated players. Yeah. It runs deep. They were like apparently pimping out cheerleaders for season ticket holders. It's been described as like a really sort of gross, like bro-y environment. Yeah.
A bunch of complaints, internal complaints from other female employees, talking about just the different sundry things that happened to them while they were at work, or like you said, some of the female employees said they were also basically getting pimped out to try to sell luxury boxes to these kind of top fans or whatever.
What's your take on?
So for that one, man, it's one of the arguments I guess you hear often against sort of why these kind of allegations aren't that serious, which obviously, look, we don't agree with. These are serious allegations. But one of the arguments you heard against this is that like, nah, whatever, it's like this is happening, 10 years ago. This is before we had sort of this Me Too kind of awakening about this stuff. And like, obviously that's a ridiculous argument, first of all. Mm-hmm. But from a psychological perspective, there's all this research that shows that that kind of relatively low level sexism stuff, like using kind of derogatory names to women or talking in kind of sexist ways about women or not promoting women, those kind of things, those kinds of attitudes, those kind of behaviors actually enable people to justify doing things that are much more seriously sexist in a more aggressive or overt way. So these two kinds of sexism, this sort of more subversive sexism and this more like overt, really in your face sexism, tend to coexist together. So one actually allows the other to occur, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not, I don't think, reasonable to say in any way that, yeah, this isn't such a big deal because this was 15 years ago, or like because this is not that bad, right? Nobody was getting like so harassed. Like, those are not reasonable arguments for many reasons. But again, from a research perspective, there's stuff that suggests that even those sort of low level sexist behaviors are related to much, much more aggressive, much worse sexist behaviors. So there's a lot of many, many reasons why this is a very bad thing to have happening in an organization. Mm-hmm. And that these two different ways of being a sexist asshole can coexist together.
Is it correlational or is it causal? Like, is Dan Snyder someone who believes, who belittles women first, right? And who doesn't promote them? Right. And then that leads to worse behavior, or is it an indication? So if you see Dan Snyder belittling women, it's just an indication that there's something worse below the surface, which is
tough to draw a causal, I think, link between these things, right? You can't go randomly assign people to be in a mildly versus really, really sexist environment and see what happens. But the research suggests that typically people know that being aggressively sexist, like pinching somebody's butt when they walk by, is bad, right? Is frowned upon these days, fortunately. But it's less clear that some of these other behaviors might be as frowned upon. Mm-hmm. So people can use these kind of behaviors, like maybe not promoting a woman and not saying it was because of her sex, not promoting a woman to justify doing some of the other stuff, right? It's like, well, I'm not doing this, but here's what I am doing, right? So they can use the one to sort of justify the other.
That's gross. It's
gross. It's really bad.
Well, okay. How is it related, or is it related to Dan Snyder's behavior in terms of the team name? So
yeah,
we're not mentioning the name. you can look it up if you don't know what the NFL team in Washington used to be called, but
yeah,
along with a lot of other things that are going on in the country, I think there was a, speaking of correlation, I think a correlation with this awakening in terms of the George Floyd protests. And this issue has been brought up before in the past. It wasn't just all the protesting that was going on this summer, but people have really had a problem for a long time, for a long time about the team.
For good reason. For good reason.
Great reason. And now it's finally coming up as more of an issue. And I think it's going to happen. They're talking about new team names.
They committed. Yeah, they committed to changing it. I mean, I would just say that I would love to think, we talked about minority influence, I would love to think that this is an instance of Daniel Snyder suddenly waking up and saying like, wow, my name is fucking racist. But I don't think that's the case. I actually think it's motivated purely by money in his case. Like he only came out and said they're going to change it when, and I'm just reading my note because I want to get this right. A letter signed by 87 investors and shareholders worth a total of $620 billion with a B was sent to Washington sponsors, FedEx, PepsiCo, and Nike. So three major sponsors of the team. Asking them to stop doing business with the team unless it was changed. That's from per ESPN. So money talks, man. And especially for a guy like Dan Snyder, money talks. Like, I don't honestly think he would have ever changed it if it wasn't for a major, major, major threat like this happening. I don't think the movement in the country affects him. And in fact, the research that I want to bring up, I think actually shows that the stuff happening in the country sort of threatening his perspective on his team would make him more likely to like dig into that team name more, which is what we've seen happen in the past, right? Every time this has come up before and somebody's come out and said, man, you should really change your team name because it's really racist. He just like puts out all these reasons why it's not, why he shouldn't change the team name, why he's never, he said something like, you can put it in all caps, right? He wants to, I think it was the USA Today. He said, I'm never going to change the team's name and you can put that in all caps. This was like 5 or 6 years ago, right? So this is pretty recent. Every time that somebody would come out and say, you should change it, he would say, no, I'm not changing it. And from a psychological perspective, the reason is something called worldview defense. So the thinking is that basically when something threatens the way that we think about the world or something that's valuable to us and the way that we kind of perceive the world to be proceeding in like an orderly, relatively orderly, certain fashion, when something threatens that certainty or threatens that sense of order, we grip tightly onto what we know. And so from Dan Snyder's perspective, like anytime something threatened his perspective on his team, his perspective on his team name, he said he would push back and push away and dig in and say, nope, not changing it. This is what I need to make my world seem orderly, make things seem certain. I need this team name. Not going to happen.
Is there any relationship between people who tend to dig in? Well, it sounds like it sounds like everybody does that. It sounds like everyone has that tendency to dig into like what they know when threatened, but like he really dug in spite of this blatantly racist name. Is there a correlation between being, you know, either A, blatantly racist, or B, having the tendency to dig in and being a sexist? Because this guy has got everything going for him. Terrible human being.
You got like everything under the sun.
Because he's like, how do you be this gross?
There are some, how do you be this gross? There are some personality characteristics that would make somebody more likely to kind of dig in this way, right? And so one that comes to mind for me thinking about Dan Snyder, I haven't given him a battery of personality tests, so I don't know if this is the case.
Prediction time.
So one thing that comes to mind, there's a variable that psychologists study called social dominance orientation. And basically, it's a relatively stable personality characteristic that some people are more prone to endorsing the fact that society needs to have some kind of stable hierarchies. So it asks questions of people like, there need to be rich and poor for society to succeed properly and things like that, right?
So this related to political affiliations too, right?
Super strongly related to political affiliation, strongly related to religious orientation. And so the thing that comes to mind in terms of Dan Snyder is like, he probably is fairly high in this characteristic, and people that are higher in this characteristic tend to be more likely to kind of be prone to this worldview defense where they really just dig into whatever their perspective is.
Really? So back to my question,
yeah,
in part, people who tend to dig in are higher on this like social dominance factor.
They tend to be, yeah, the two okay. tend to be correlated with each other, that or I guess differently said, people who tend to be higher in social dominance, this kind of wanting there to be hierarchy and order, tend to also to be more willing to dig their heels in when they are feeling that their worldview is being threatened.
Is that, and like, we're just swinging here, and this is totally anecdotal, and if you're listening to this and you're a psychologist, please forgive us, but.
Yeah, don't at me.
Yeah, don't at me. So, okay, let's say he's high on social dominance, right? And it's related to this digging in factor. Is that also related to being sexist, right? Like, if I believe that like, there's meant to be rich and there's meant to be poor and there's meant to be men in charge and women aren't supposed to be in charge.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. It's all about your belief in the extent to which people should be fulfilling roles and kind of staying in their lane, basically, right? Rich people stay in their lane, poor people stay in their lane, women stay in their lane, men stay in their lane. So yeah, absolutely.
That, I think that's really enlightening. And you're right, we haven't tested him, but I think that's a great theory to explain all of this behavior. And it's like, it just sort of came out in this like vomit, you know, suddenly with everything going on, it was like, you know, the veil was lifted and all this gross stuff came out about him, which is in a way good. Like, I think people deserve to know this.
Yeah, it is
good. We all have our flaws, but it's like, come on, man. Like,
both
are so egregious. The team name, people have been battling that for, I think, decades. To be in our nation's capital too, like something so derogatory, it's gross.
Can I make another prediction? Please. I mean, we're still in the fucking prediction business today, man.
Please,
so
good luck with that.
What I'm, maybe this is more of a hope than a prediction, but what I would love to see, and I think the NFL has to go this way. You see the players exhibiting more voice recently.
Yep.
I think what's gonna happen, or hope will happen, maybe it's both, is that the NFL will force Dan Snyder out like the NBA forced out Donald Sterling from the Clippers.
Yeah.
That after Roger Goodell, POS that he is, came out with their whole video, even though he didn't mention Kaepernick, players are getting a bit more, sensing that they're getting a bit more power like they have in the NBA. They're going to, I think, put their foot down and say, we got to get this asshole out of here. There's no, like, this is the NFL ownership is an old boys club, old white boys club specifically, but I think they have to draw a line somewhere and get him goodbye. Bye, Daniel Snyder.
I think that's a very fair prediction. I think that's a good one. Nice one.
We have
solved all the world's problems. We know who's
going to be the best. Oh, we always do. We always do.
We know who's going to be changing hands in terms of ownership in the NFL. This was fun. Please rate and subscribe if you can. We appreciate it. You can find us on Twitter at HeadGamePsych. You can find me on Twitter at Dr. Brett Levine. You can find that guy on Twitter at BD Rosenberg, PhD. You can also read more of our content about Head Games on Psychology Today. The show was edited and produced by Joshy Boy, Josh Baca. Thanks so much. Thanks for watching and listening. Appreciate it.
Thanks, y'all.